Friday. Hey, is it Thursday again? Can you believe it? Another Thursday, inching closer to Halloween, and it's another Real Monsters, and I'm S.K. Barrett, your host, along with the lovely and talented Wes Hobrick.
Hello, hello, hello. 1 week until Halloween.
How
on the dot.
That? Yeah.
Man.
Holy cow, we have a guy tonight who most people probably have not heard of yet.
Yeah, unless you pay attention to some very specific news outlets, you probably don't know much about this guy.
Right.
Yeah, but he, I think, is going to have a pretty big effect on the history of serial murder on this continent and how it goes forward in studying these guys. Would be another big part of it.
But first, This Week in Crime History.
Yes, I actually have a few. The ones that I had from last week before we had to cancel.
Yep.
Just go through those real quick. I'll kind of read them while I'm reading the others that are more new. Let's see. 1019, Florida man charged with manslaughter after beating a Peeping Tom to death.
Yeah. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just thinking, that one's kind of touchy. And you know, if I were that guy, I think I would plead temporary insanity with that. And you know what? I bet you I'd win.
Crime of passion.
Yeah, exactly. I was driven temporarily insane when I saw a guy looking in the window as me and my girlfriend had sex.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I didn't know what I was doing was wrong.
Well, yeah, and that's why he couldn't stop beating him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also the 19th, the Washington state leader of the Adam Waffen Division has his guns seized, but he is not arrested. Wasn't totally sure why on that, but the Adam Waffen Division, they are a bit of a rising neo-Nazi group in this country. ProPublica, in fact, with Frontline on PBS, did a rather interesting documentary on them. It can be found for free online. But yeah, you might be seeing more with that. Who knows?
Did you say they're in Washington?
It was the Washington state leader's guns that were seized. They aren't, that's not like their headquarters or anything. Okay. They're pretty decentralized across most of the states, but yeah, apparently they didn't have anything to arrest the man on, though. So, I don't know.
But they could take his guns away without arresting him?
Yep.
Why?
Scary for other reasons, too.
So why can they do that?
I'm wondering if they aren't starting with these laws that are allowing them to do it in other instances, the red flag laws. Perhaps it's an abuse of something like that. You know, it's hard because you know that kind of shit is unconstitutional. But when they direct it at a guy like this, it does make it harder to have sympathy.
But this is exactly why you have to have sympathy.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. But, I mean,
he may be a total shitbag, but that doesn't mean you get to take his guns away just because of that. You got to have
exactly.
Some real reason.
Oh, exactly. I try to remember that. I really do. Because I agree with you 100%. But oh, yeah, we had this item, too. An L.A. man gets 553 years for shooting a SWAT officer's helmet and non-fatally wounding a canine.
Excuse me?
This guy had a bunch of other charges in the same incident, and he had a very long rap sheet. But, yeah, 553 years for that. So,
What?
yeah, you don't know. Even the guys that we profile on here, you don't often see 550 years.
No, you don't even, you almost never even see triple digits because it's
Yep.
ridiculous. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a feeling the attorneys are just, stacking up their appeals and rubbing their
Yeah.
hands together.
Oh, probably, especially being California. But yeah, cool tactics says with that last item. That's Alex Jones all again. Yeah, I agree. It is a slippery slope too, like you said. Just like I said, we have to remember that fact that it's a slippery slope. And even if these guys are total shit heels, it has to be some due process before you do that, before you take away their guns. But oh yeah, the botched arrest of El Chapo's son leaves eight dead in Mexico. So there's
We
that.
may very well have to go to war with Mexico against the cartels.
Yeah,
Because
we.
if you read about the details in this, the police were completely outgunned, and outmanned, and they one of the ways they got the police to surrender is they went to the not well they. They, I'm sorry. It was not a shootout with the police. It was a shootout against the army.
Yeah, the army and I think the federales too.
And the cartel went to the families of the soldiers and started killing the families
Oh yeah, and they're vicious.
get them to surrender. This is the Mexico's in a lot of trouble because of the cartels.
And the
And
infiltration, the scale of the infiltration into their government that they
absolutely,
did.
absolutely. And
Everybody's corrupt down there, it seems.
well, not everybody. It does seem like everybody, but it's
Oh,
enough.
yeah. Oh,
It's enough.
absolutely.
And we might have to. We might have to go after them ourselves.
I hope not, but maybe. See, he had a couple of these on here. One, a Cincinnati soccer coach, 107 counts of kiddie porn, many of which involved a 7-month-old victim.
The fuck's wrong with people?
I know, somebody
Well, I
like
guess that's
that,
what the whole show's
man.
about.
Some of those are
But no,
unfathomable, man.
I don't. That shit makes no sense to me.
Have you ever watched a Serbian film?
I have not.
You've heard of it, though.
I have heard of it.
There is one scene in there that mimics what I just said with that 7-month-old. That is one of the few movies I've ever seen that will take a bit of your soul with it when you watch it.
Yeah, so I've heard, and I'm not exactly excited about that prospect.
Yeah. I mean, although I will say, I think if you can watch it, you can watch anything. But yeah, moving on to another one I had. This one, I don't know how many people out there listening are fans of HGTV, but one of their pilot stars, Christopher Dionne, Dionne, from the show Family Flip, was convicted of molesting a 10-year-old girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. There was also a story out of England where a 22-year-old young woman committed suicide after finding kiddie porn on her boyfriend's phone.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, had that one in here too.
Oh,
It's
did you?
sad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
It's
don't I
horribly sad.
obviously she had to have other things going wrong to take that kind of a step because
Yeah.
I mean it's not her fault.
Yeah, or it was the trigger that exploded those other things. The straw that broke the camel's back for
Yeah.
her. I'm not totally sure. I would need to read more of her story, but switching gears a bit to something funny. Florida man takes laxatives he believes are opiates. Yep. It's a shitty story. Rim
Jeez.
shot.
You know, when I was in Boy Scouts and we would go on campouts and you'd always pack some, besides the meals, you always wanted to take snacks along, candy or whatever. And somebody was getting into the packs and stealing stuff. And so one of my buddies took a box of Chiclets and replaced them with Ex-Lax, chewable Ex-Lax that looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And guess what? We found out
Oh,
who it was.
wow. Oh, man. Dang. Let's see. Oh, a Munchausen by proxy case. Mother gets jail time after her 3-year-old dies. Oh, here's another interesting one. The two suspects accused of killing NBA star Andrea Emmett in a botched robbery were arraigned on the 22nd. Another one that, man, this just, what's the world coming to? A 9-year-old boy arraigned up here by me, actually, Goodfield, Illinois, after starting a fire that kills 5 of his family members. 9 years old.
Whoa.
Man. Oh, yeah, and then E.T. phoned an attorney. Henry Thomas of E.T. got a DUI
Yeah.
on the 23rd. Man.
It was in Oregon, so just down the road from me. Good chance it wasn't alcohol. That's all I'm gonna say. It
Well,
was Oregon after all.
this is true. Let's see. Oh, 39 bodies found in a lorry in Essex, UK. A lorry
And
from Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, huh?
You know, I wonder with that if it isn't something with human trafficking.
Trafficking, yeah.
Because that's the Brits' problem over there with their illegal immigration,
Yeah.
is from Eastern Europe
Yep.
in huge part. But we'll see with that. They filed murder charges today, so. Oh,
Against the
yeah. And
driver, wasn't it?
I think so. I would have to check the Essex police report again, but yeah, I believe it was the driver. Oh, yeah, and did you see this? Rose McGowan is going after Harvey Weinstein in civil court for racketeering.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a really smart move.
I do too. I think she definitely has a case there, looking at everything he did. It's a very novel way to go after him, too. But, oh, yeah, we did have a couple funny ones here from last week, too. Did you hear about the Iowa State student who was arrested for using a fake Hawaiian McLovin
No, what?
ID? You've seen Superbad, right?
Oh, yeah, it's been a little, it's been a while.
McLovin. Apparently, he had an ID. It said McLovin. I should have gotten his mugshot from that because he had a huge smile for that. I probably would be too if it was just that I got pinched for. But let's see. 35-year-old man walks 358 miles to have sex with a 14-year-old girl. Let's see. Oh, this one was interesting. I didn't hear much more on it, but San Diego Padres pitcher Jacob Nix is arrested after drunkenly crawling through a doggy door in Arizona. And he's damn near shot by the homeowner. I
Well,
still live in her
even all of
blanket.
that's better than playing for the Padres.
Oh, this is true. Man. Oh, yeah, and then right over there in El Dorado Hills, California, a naked home intruder wearing only a bra and panties is arrested. Not sure what the end game was there either. But man,
wow, people are weird.
They definitely are. And I think that is, yeah, that's all I have this week and last week.
Okay.
And Mr. Little.
Mr. Samuel Little. What the hell's the deal with this guy?
It is truly amazing. Just wrapping your mind around the scope of what this guy did. And it, so far, the number is at 93 that he's confessed to. And it is, I think, the last total I saw that they conclusively tied him to was 60 murders.
Well, even 60 would put him way near the top.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, some of the serial killers that we think of as being so terrible, their numbers aren't all that impressive anymore.
Yeah.
Son of Sam.
At six.
Bundy was like 14.
BTK, Dennis Rader, had 10.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But
so just to put this into perspective, and this guy is linked to 60 and has confessed to over 90.
He has, and I found it telling the investigators who have been interviewing him have said that they see no reason to doubt what he's saying for the others. They just don't have the conclusive evidence yet on those others. Interestingly, how this all started was a Texas Ranger had a inkling about this guy, Samuel Little, when he was picked up in California for 3 murders and sentenced to 3 life terms there around 2014. So basically what this guy says is, Ranger James Holland, I'm going to go to California. I'm going to sit down with this guy. I think he might have done this murder in my state. Let's see what he says.
Okay.
So he gets there and he gets Little talking and he ends up with about 700 hours of chats of confessions with this guy.
Jesus.
Yeah. To put that in perspective, that's about 48 days worth of confessions.
So Little didn't mind talking. All you had to do was ask, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And do we have the pictures of the photos he would draw? I thought I included a few of those in there too.
I got those.
That was the other big thing that Holland noticed. In fact, Holland called Little a genius.
In what sense?
And his level of recall of details.
Oh, okay.
And then just also how he stored memory. The way that I took it with that was he was meaning that he has an ideographic memory.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting, just all the little things that he remembered and he told these guys. But yeah, Holland got him talking and then he started giving him art supplies and said, Sam, I want you to draw these women as you remember them.
Oh, so that's where the drawings came from.
Yep.
From the ranger asking him.
Yeah. He's not a bad artist.
No, not bad at all.
He's got some
skill. By the way, portraits are some... Faces are some of the hardest things to draw.
They really are.
And to get right.
Which that mugshot actually looks like it might be a computer one. But, yeah, I mean, he's been drawing these and just sort of cranking them out for the ranger as they need them. But, with Holland, it's kind of interesting. They did a 60 minutes interview with him. And basically what he does is his specialty is going around and trying to close these cold cases where they have very limited evidence, but they have somebody that they like for it.
Okay.
And that's the way it was with Little with a lot of these murders. Because, you know, what he would do, his MO would be to drift from town to town. And during the day, how he would usually spend his time is going around and shoplifting shit from different stores. And then taking it to the Skid Rows and the crack houses. And, you know, just the poor down and out areas of a town.
Okay.
Selling it. And then all the while being on the hunt for prostitutes, drug addicts, down and out dispossessed women.
Okay.
And now he did say that he preferred African-American women, which would be in keeping with most of them, you know, not crossing racial lines. But his big thing also was just, did he like their form, specifically the neck? He mentioned several times that he had a sexual attraction to the neck.
Well, that's unusual.
Yeah.
Or at least not common.
Yeah. It's strangulation is common as a way to kill among these people. But yeah, being specific about saying, yeah, I'm really attracted to the neck is kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah, that's how he would kill him. He would strangle him. And often he would, you know, secrete, ejaculate onto the bodies or on the clothes. And that was actually one way that the LAPD closed case people found him and went after him for those three that I mentioned earlier. Now, in terms of where he was
active, he was not worried about leaving behind DNA at all.
Oh, no, not at all. Not, you know, when he's spending maybe 4 days in a town and he knows he's going to leave there after he does that.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't worried at all. He killed over a total of 20 states.
And what was the time span?
That was about 1957,
no,
all the way to the early 2000s.
57?
57. With Little being born in 1940. But I mean, this guy, he's got the entire Southwest covered, and he's got the entire Southern United States, basically, covered.
So that's 50 years.
Yep. First one in 57. Then he wasn't active for a while. And then in 1970, he starts killing more in earnest, I guess he could say.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a huge time. But let's see. His most active area by far was L.A., California. He killed 20 just there.
In California.
In L.A.
In,
alone.
Just in L.A.
Yep.
And that didn't twig anybody's attention?
You know, his M.O., when you look at it, and his signature wasn't all that unusual. You know, okay. There's not really a whole lot of behavioral evidence to go off there. If you're just investigating a strangling, you know,
a strangled
assault.
Prostitute, not enough to be distinctive. Is what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's not enough to differentiate him from, you know, anything else there.
Wow.
So there was 20 in Los Angeles, and about 25 of them in Miami. So he was very active in Florida, too. But he also has murders connected to him in, let's see, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Maryland, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Nebraska, and Missouri.
Jesus.
Yeah. So basically the entire Southwest and the entire South. But, yeah, he was born in Ohio in 1940. And he, allegedly, he says his mother was a prostitute. But there's not really any evidence to back much of that up. And there's other people who say that he was actually born when she was in prison. But again, no real proof of that. So at any rate, he ended up actually living with his grandmother in Ohio, around the Cleveland area.
You know, if he was raised by his grandma, and if grandma was not too keen on his mom and just called her a whore, just, you know, as a slur and not necessarily as a job description, he could have just grown up thinking that, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Most definitely. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and he was also, I found this interesting. When Little was in prison is actually how he got started with this. He was a amateur boxer through much of that.
Oh, really?
Yep, with one hell of a powerful punch, too.
Oh, right. He, that was demonstrated in one of his victims, right?
Yeah, I was just looking for, it was Little Rock. The one that he killed in North Little Rock, he punched her so hard in the stomach that it actually severed her spine.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Man, yeah, with such force. I'm just. Yeah, he called his mother a lady of the night. Those his exact words there. But you know, as this is still developing in a lot of ways too, there's a lot of details that aren't totally clear yet.
Right.
On Little, even though he has been arrested over 100 times. For various, you know, different things. But he only spent, it wasn't a whole lot of time. I was looking for the exact figure. I want to say before his murder arrest, it was only a couple years. Yeah, only 2 years was the amount of time he spent in prison.
But he was arrested 100 times.
Yep.
And he spent 2 years.
Yeah, only 2 years before that murder conviction. But, yeah, there was that murder in 57. There was a breaking and entering, too, that he got pinched for. Burglary, a bunch of other stuff. Possession of a crack pipe was a big one. Again, you see with him a lot of criminal versatility. Not unlike a lot of the other guys, but... You know, most arrests here, they equal zero jail time. And you can't help but wonder if they had done a different tact with that, if somebody might have lived. If they might have saved lives, you know?
They certainly could have saved some, maybe not all, but some, you know, just having them off the street, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Makes you wonder if he would skip town and skip out of the state if he got too many arrests in an area.
I think that was a pretty big motivation for him a lot of the time early on there.
Yeah.
With quite a few different places, California being probably the most that would fit that bill. So it wasn't long after Ohio, living with his grandmother, he actually moved down to Florida. Was working as a gravedigger and a ambulance attendant. And then from there, he drifted out to California. I was just looking for a few different examples of his recall here.
So he had this you know, pretty perfect recall, and yet he did pretty crappy at school.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what exactly that would say.
You know, it could be that he could recall images, but not necessarily understand concepts. You know what I mean? Like he could.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just because you can recall, you know, maybe he could recall even the text on a page, but that doesn't mean he understands what the text means.
It's true. It's very true. But, yeah, the Ranger, when he was talking about Little's recall, said watching him, it was almost like you could see the pictures flashing real fast of the victim's faces in front of his eyes, and then he finally settles on one. And that's when he starts describing the detail. And, you know, very deep, very minute detail. You know, let's see a few quotes from him.
Yeah. Those images would be organized in a way. It'd be fascinating to know how he mentally organizes all those images and what it, because, you know, it could be that he has to go, you know, through a mental filing cabinet to try and find the right one.
Yeah, that's definitely how Ranger Holland described it. But, yeah, there was one example of a New Orleans victim, 1982. Little says of her, she was pretty, light-colored, honey-brown skin. She was tall for a woman, beautiful shape, and friendly. They left a club in the city in his Lincoln, parked by a bayou. That's where he says, quote, "That's the only one that I ever killed by drowning." His most recent plea, too, was actually back home in Ohio. Four women, pleading guilty to first-degree murder. That's plus the three out there in California. Oh, that was 2013. When he was convicted there, not 2014.
Okay.
And then you had Ranger Holland's killing. The associated one was in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, I've been there briefly.
Nice town. I liked it when I went through. It was a.
So what if? So if this guy's MO was so generic, what was it that got this Texas Ranger's, you know, brain twitching that it might be Little?
You know, he was, I don't think he was the only one at the time, but he was definitely one of them who started noticing that, hey, they have this murderer out in California, and we're seeing clusters of murdered women wherever we can place this guy in his history. And from there, it gets him to thinking, maybe this is our guy. But yeah, Ranger Holland wasn't the only one throughout the country to think that. Okay. He was just the one that got him to talk, really. He said that the best way to do that is to avoid remorse and avoid talking about family. Theirs or the victims, and just let them tell their story.
Oh, so don't try and get them to feel bad about it, in other words.
Right, exactly. Which, of course, would totally square with what we know about.
Would be pointless.
Yeah, totally an exercise in futility to do that. Let's see. So you had Knox County, Tennessee. That was, I didn't write it down. Oh, Martha Little. No relation to Sam, but Martha Little. Knox County, Tennessee was another probable. Her body was found in 1975. She was found in the woods, bruised and nude from the waist down, pantyhose and girdle around her knees. Her purse and jewelry were missing. There was, of course, the secondary dump site there with that. Still, I found this kind of weird. Investigators at that time said she died of natural causes.
What?
Yeah. The medical examiner listed it as, quote, unknown. But she was a gospel singer in a family band, too. The Happy Home Jubilee Singers.
So he wasn't just taking meth heads and crackheads and hookers.
No, I mean, she wouldn't fit that pattern. I'm wondering how he found her, though. She had to have been somewhere near where, you know, the women who do fit that usually are. But, yeah, I still would like to know why they thought natural causes. So essentially, they were trying to make the argument that she died in one spot. Somebody just moved her there. That didn't kill her.
And
wait,
undressed her.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's just nuts. I mean, I realize that in a lot of areas in this country, you don't even have to be a doctor to be a coroner. But this seems just outrageous.
Well, from what I've read, the concept of a coroner is much different than a medical examiner.
Yes. Medical examiner has to be a doctor.
And a medical examiner is charged with, you know, solving the cause of death. Coroner, not necessarily.
Yeah. A lot of the times what they can do is basically just back up the cops.
Yeah.
With the coroners, but a medical examiner, yeah, just stupid.
In a lot of states, a medical examiner is an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And they use they just use, you know, medicine to investigate and science.
Yep. They definitely do. But you know, many of the others that we're looking at with the 93 here were ruled overdoses too. It was about the time, the peak in his killing was about the time of the crack epidemic in the United States.
Ah.
See, a lot of that, but, you know, a lot of heroin heads, too, with that. And you know what? I hate to say it, but you can't really blame him for jumping to that assumption of overdose when you look at the victimology. Of little.
Well, I mean,
if there's evidence,
you'd think there would be signs, but he liked to strangle, so come on.
Well,
that leaves distinctive trace evidence, right? There are things that happen in the body when you're strangled.
Usually, but not always. I think about like 80% of the time or more, but. Not at all the time.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it got chalked up to that for the most part with the others. But then, of course, you also have the many others who probably weren't even reported as missing. You know, I mean, that's a very rare thing that you would get somebody reporting a sex worker missing.
Right.
It's another thing that would change if they would legalize it.
Not legalize, decriminalize.
Yeah. Yeah, because even decriminalizing.
Absolutely true. The laws that people think are protecting women are actually putting them in danger because they can't, you know, the friends and coworkers of these sex workers can't report their friends missing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They don't feel safe doing that, and the cops don't fucking care anyway.
No.
And honest to God, they're going to say, well, she probably moved to another town.
Probably.
and they won't just put any effort into it. But so there's so little done to help these women.
It's sad, man. It kind of reminds me of what happened with Robert Hansen, too.
Yeah.
How he got away with it.
I mean,
but,
people who claim to be, you know, one in favor of women's rights and women's protection should be championing sex workers and making them safe, and not by the prohibition, which clearly doesn't work.
Yep.
And never has anywhere.
Nope.
So
I couldn't agree more, man.
You know, let's come up with something that does work and makes these women, you know, have some recourse.
Yeah, where they aren't afraid to go to the police if they're beaten up or what have you.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of these are still open, as we were talking about, and in fact, the FBI is taking tips on a lot of these cases. If anybody has one, you can actually dial their number. 1-800-CALL-FBI. 1-800-CALL-FBI. Or tips.fbi.gov. So they're getting John Q. Public if they can. With a lot of them.
So is they trying to get him to draw more pictures to help with identifying?
Yeah, my understanding, yeah, that process hasn't stopped. The Ranger Holland is trying to keep that going with him.
I mean, if he's got that kind of recall, then that would be a huge thing.
It would. And my understanding, it was getting a little slower, too, because Little does have some health problems related to diabetes and his heart, I think. But, yeah, I mean, they're hoping they can get as much as possible out of him before anything happens. I mean, the guy is 79,
wow,
after all.
Better get on that.
Yep.
I wonder if they could use a sketch artist so he wouldn't have to do all the work.
I don't know, man. I think it kind of makes it more interesting that he's doing it like that.
Well, I know, but if he can't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then maybe get one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could. They are the FBI, after all.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have some resources they could tap into.
But, oh, yeah, another earlier one of his. This was around 71 or 72. Marianne or Marion met an attractive transgender woman age 18 to 19. Marianne or Marion, 5'6", 5'7", 140 pounds. I first met her at the Pool Palace Bar, and we met again a few days later at a bar in Overton, where I was offered to drive her home, where she lived with several roommates. Let's see. They left again in Little's Gold. Yeah, I can't read my own. That's weird. Can you hear me?
You did cut out for a second. You left in this gold. And now you're gone again.
How about...
Well, seems like we've kind of lost Wes a little bit. He's cutting in and out.
Can you hear me now?
There, yep.
I don't know why it's doing that. I heard like a little pop, and then it did that. But yeah, they left in his Pontiac Le Mans, drove down the highway to a field where they strangled her, and Little says the body was never found.
Wow.
There's just so many of those right now. I mean, it is great that they can solve those cold cases. I just hope that some of these don't turn out to be bullshit, like with Henry Lee Lucas, you know?
Right.
Little doesn't seem to be the type who's motivated to lie, though, with that.
No, he hasn't really sought publicity, has he?
No, I mean, kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Keeping it hidden for so long.
I mean, some guys, once you catch them, you can't shut them up.
This is true. And you have the ones who totally make shit up.
Yeah.
I mean, at least when you had Berkowitz. Somebody like Ed Kemper who was talking. Yeah, Berkowitz, Lucas, when he said he killed 600.
Right.
It'd be... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say it'd be interesting to see how all this unfolds. As we get more info, it's like I said, we're still, you know, people across the country are still processing a lot of this and verifying and, you know, doing everything that homicide investigators are supposed to do.
Right.
To get it right.
The problem is that if some of these victims, you know, they have completely, if they completely cut off ties with family and moved to other areas and nobody knows where they went or what name they were going under or anything, all they know is they just disappeared. They don't even know if they should be looking for them, right?
Oh, exactly. Part of that transient lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's going into that side of the equation, and it's going into his side. You know, that's how he was successful for so long in what he did, was sort of finding a weak spot in that system and exploiting it.
Right.
Staying mobile, staying transient.
Yeah, there's a reason why this demographic is so frequently targeted by these men, and that's because, you know, much of the time, nobody misses them when they're gone. Nobody even knows that they're gone.
Unfortunately, it gets me that so much of that could be solved by, like we said, just decriminalizing.
Yeah.
Sad, really.
Yeah, it is super sad. And, you know, so many people have this visceral reaction to sex workers, just the concept. And I don't think they even understand why. They don't think about it. They just have this reaction and, like, we have to stop this.
I agree. Yeah, they seem to just knee-jerk with it.
Yeah. Without really understanding what's going on. And, you know, it's the oldest profession for a reason.
Oh, absolutely. And it'll continue to be.
It'll always be there. You can't make it go away. So why not, you know, help those ladies?
Exactly. Well said.
Shit, penguins. Penguins will prostitute themselves for pretty rocks.
That's kind of funny. There was a story from last week about that, about penguins prostituting themselves for sushi.
Going into the sushi store next door.
Hilarious. It finally got booted out, but yeah. I was curious, and I think I'm going to put this in the letter that we write to Ridgeway. What do you think of Samuel Little, if you've heard about him?
Oh, yeah.
Being as I think Little has the, or Ridgeway has the most confirmed kills out of any American serial killer.
Yeah.
But now Little's taking his mantle.
And they did kind of shop in the same aisles of the grocery store, so to speak.
They did. Both targeted prostitutes. But we'll see what he says about that when we send that letter.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Hope he writes back.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, he's another one of these who's really, he comes across as a very shy person to begin with, introvert type. And so he didn't want the big trial. He wasn't Bundy. He wasn't charismatic and gregarious. He didn't want a trial. So he traded his life for confession. And he
wasn't a big part of that to spare his family too, or at least he said it was.
Well, yeah, he said that, but
yeah,
maybe it was. It's hard to say, how much care did he really have for his family after all? Because don't forget, this is the guy who took his nephew on a camping trip to Oregon with a dead hooker in the back of the pickup.
This is true. Man. But yeah, I would be curious to see if he does say something back.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's unfathomable, too, that this record will ever be beaten.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope not, but kind of a natural digression to wonder about.
Well, and one of the things that you hear people remark about casually, or at least I do, is, they want to know is there anything that can be done to stop these people from developing into serial killers? And honest to God, I don't think there is.
Nope. There's just too many variables that would have to be controlled. I mean, granted, you can do things to limit the largest of those variables, like child abuse, that sort of thing. But even taking that out of the equation doesn't guarantee anything.
No. So there's still going to be, if you take, so there's the nature part of it, which is the sociopaths.
Right.
By and large, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some are psychotic, but mostly they're sociopaths, psychopaths.
Yeah.
And that's never going to change. It's not an illness. It is a, as near as they can tell, it's a diminished, they just have fewer neurons in the hippocampus than normal people. The brain in that area is underdeveloped. You can't fix that.
No, I mean, you can't.
Now, then there's the nurture part of it. Not all sociopaths turn into even criminals, much less murderers, even much less serial killers.
Right. Oh, most definitely. That's where you get the ones who find a socially acceptable outlet.
Right.
For the sociopathy, like a CEOs.
CEOs.
That sort of thing. Police.
Police, military, prison guards.
Yep.
There are a lot of ways, and some people just don't do it in their professions, or they find outlets in their hobbies, maybe they're thrill seekers or something,
Yep. And then it just becomes something bigger.
And so, the difference between a sociopath who becomes a senator and one who becomes a serial killer could be largely up to how they grew up.
Oh, absolutely. But we do know that for that one to become a serial killer, somewhere along the line, the psychopathy got fused with violence, which got fused with sexuality.
Right.
That's really the big difference here. These serial killers, these lust killers like Samuel Little, it is all about sexual psychopathy.
Yeah, with these people. Right. And you know, part of it is that, you know, they start experimenting when they're little and seeing what they can get away with and seeing what they like, and they don't get discovered because they're very clever a lot of times.
Yep.
Oh, unless you're like a 9-year-old kid who burns his whole family to the ground.
Yeah.
And watches.
I need to read a bit more on that. Nine years old, man.
Yeah, my understanding is he just stood there and watched.
Wow. That's like something out of the horror flicks.
Stephen King level shit, man.
It is, man. Oh, yeah, did you see that other story the other day about the couple who adopted I think it was a Ukrainian kid.
Yeah.
And they said it was actually a midget that tried to kill them.
Yeah, it was an adult woman who was pretending to be a child.
Wow. I mean, that's right out of the storyline for Orphan.
Yeah.
The movie. I actually interviewed the woman who played in that.
Did you?
I did. And my God, I feel bad. I can't remember her name right now. I'll probably just look it up while we're talking. But
well,
yeah.
Samuel Little, I think we're going to be coming back to talk about him again.
Yeah, there is so much info. And like I said earlier, there's so much it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's still developing. It's not yet verified. But yeah, it's definitely looking like it's going to be 93.
Wow. Well, I think we're gonna call this good for tonight. What do you say?
That sounds great.
Okay. Samuel Little, perhaps.
Isabel Furman, that was her name.
Okay.
Yep.
Perhaps the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history.
Yep. Scary, man.
But we'll find out.
We shall.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.